A lot of people have so reported.
I tell you a story about it after.
Really? Okay. Okay, that's great. Okay, so here we are in the middle of a very strange sugya, I must tell you. By the way, I just want to give a little bit of perspective as to what the Gemara has done, because some brilliant things have taken place in a very hidden fashion here. What's happened is that we started talking about the element of Dayanim and the difference between the Dayanim Mumchin and the Mumchel Rabin, and from there we moved on to the concept of Rishut and so on, and that led us to Ta'ut. Now, Ta'ut, we ended up coming to the idea of Ta'ut Shikul HaDat, as opposed to Ta'ut the Mishnah, Ta'ut Advar Mishnah. Now, a Ta'ut Shikul HaDat led directly and not coincidentally into the idea of Pshara. Pshara is intensely Shikul HaDat oriented. It's not at all Halacha oriented, you see. So we go from that element into what we mean by arbitration, which led us into the whole idea of bitzia or pshara, and all of the ancillary elements that are related to the concept of pshara. And that brought us to the idea of relationship to the dayanim. That is, what is the focus in terms of din, the emat din, the presence of the shechina, din elements that we spoke about yesterday, and that derives directly from our relationship to Bitsua. Because you'll note that Bitsua is essentially a social contract, and literally it's a social contract, because unless you contract for it, it's not binding. Whereas Din, of course, is something that is imposed on you. The broader perspective over here actually begins earlier with that very point. Who can impose the Din on you, which is really the way Tosfos understands the Sugya, and the Rambam brings the Iker HaDin that we were talking about, Echa, Dain Mumcha, and Shlosha Hediotas forcing din. And that was part of that whole sugya, is Bitsua kosher. That's why that Bitsua being kosher appears in the context of that whole issue. How do we relate to dinim and to dayanim? So we had the way in which the dayanim have to treat the tzibur, the way the tzibur has to treat the din, which led also to other elements, responsiveness to a summons of court, and so on. The klei hadayanim, the emas hadin. Now then, we went on to something that appeared to be completely unrelated. It just happened to be the next thing in the Mishnah. But the next thing in the Mishnah, again, the Gemara always does this. There's so many different levels. The next thing in the Mishnah was Motzi Shemra. Now, Motzi Shemra strangely led us into, initially, Rav Anula's answer about the question of laws on the Dayanim, the way Tosfos is learning, over the Chayshinan for the Kvod HaRishonim, which is a direct result of the other sugya. How do we relate the Eimata Tzibur towards the Dayanim? Then, subsequently, moved on to the other elements that are Merumas in the Din HaMotzi Shemra. Now, as we pointed out yesterday, this Din HaMotzi Shemra, getting now more to our daf, this Din HaMotzi Shemra is very strange, because apparently the Mishnah is using it for some reason to open up the door to all types of other issues that are not specifically Motzi Shemra oriented. A little long discussion of first the question of the Chayshin Lalaz, or the question of whether we have to be Chayish for the Kvod HaRishonim of the Dayanim. And then we moved on to various elements of Hatra'ah. Now Hatra'ah has no relationship whatsoever to Motzi Shemra. I mean, Hatra'ah is a general halacha. The fact that we're using Motzi Shemra to indicate elements of Hatra'ah, we'll see that today we're going to go on and deal with other general issues of testimony and acceptability and Drishav HaKira and the contradictions in testimony. All things, again, which are unrelated to Motzi Shemra. Again, there's many levels as to why we would use Motzi Shemra. The simplest of the upshot is that Motzi Shemra is the only example that we have of a din that could come before us and include various levels of din simultaneously. So it has in it the elements of the dine momonut on two levels, which is really a machlokas rashi and tosis, which we're stressing here in the Gemara. The level of the hefsed haktuba is in terms of the woman, and the level of the knas of the mea shekel, which is against the bomb. That means that we have a beautiful laboratory case in Moti Shemra. Sometimes, you know, in science you'll find a specific organism that you'll use again and again for experiments because it just has exactly the issues that you want and not the issues that you don't want. Well, that's exactly what Moti Shemra is up the upshot. It has exactly the issues that you want because it includes the possibility of a din turning from one type into another in two different ways. It's the relationship between the din emominus and the din nefashis, and it can also be inverted so that what originally was a suit against the woman becomes now a suit against the husband. So all of those issues now become part of what the Mishnah uses Moti Shemra to express, because really there's nothing at all that's unique about Moti Shemra in terms of any particular elements of its din. In other words, if it's a din eknas, it's like the other din eknas. If it's a din in a parsha, it's like the other din in a parsha. If it's a question of a hefset, so it's like any other hefset. The point of making it now in the Mishnah something unique is only because it has these unique capabilities. It's why we use it as a vehicle for examining what would happen if, and it turns out that there are even halakhas that can be derived from nowhere else, really, except from this sugya, which is where we're holding today. Yeah.
Doesn't it matter if the Moti Shemra is an unusual case in some way, so we try to use it as a proof for Kanaf?
Excellent. Excellent. There are other elements as well, which we'll get to shortly. It's not that long. That also Moti Shemra provides us, correct? In terms of Hazom and so on, which is also part of this sugya too, very peripheral. So we got up to yesterday the bottom of Ches Amud Beis, and let's just examine where we've come to so far. If the problem that we have is why in the world anyone would have a difficulty with Moti Shemra in terms of the relationship of its being din emominus, being din nefashis. I mean, what is the problem? Either it is a suit of din nefashis or it's not. I mean, why don't we know that up front? What's the Mishnah say? Since it is what? Since it's theoretically a din nefashis, so therefore, even if it's din emominus, there's something very, very weird about that. So we wanted to understand the machlokas in the Mishnah. So the approaches that we've had so far, we've had Ula's approach, we've had Rava's approach, which revolves around, Ula said the problem was, are we chashinan lalaz, which according to Rashi means, do we have to worry about the potential of Adam coming forward, even if originally the suit was just to be mopsed or the ksiva, but people, this is scandalous, and people will talk about it, and somebody's going to hear about it, and show up in court and say, actually, I witnessed this whole event, and I know what really happened. So that was our first approach. And our focus is whether we have to worry about that up front. The second approach was, Rob actually is the correct use, apparently. He said that the issue over here was that originally a suit had been brought of a Chiyav Misa, but it turned out that the Baal wasn't able to bring testimony. And so the whole thing collapsed and now became an issue of whether to be Masa or Biksuda. What's the din? Do we let a Bezdin go home and keep three of the people that we say, having once brought a court into session, we're certainly not going to say, we don't need you. I mean, that's what happens to juries sometimes. It's horrific. You know, you come up here, you set up your whole schedule for jury duty, and then they dismiss that day, and they come back in 3 months. It's outrageous. So here, I mean, okay, that's a common citizen. Chayshinan, on that level, for Kodam HaRishonim, Kodam Sharishonim, is the issue in our Mishnah. That's how Rabba understood it. Okay, now that tied directly into the sugya before. Then we had the Braisa that confused things even more because it said that there's a difference in what the original suit was. We had to fit that into those two pshatim as well, which led us into the idea of Hazama and what would happen if it was originally for Hazama and so on. Okay. Then, but that's just an aside. Now, so we have two directions so far. Then we had a Baya's approach. Abaye's approach is, look, laws, kodom sharishonim, that's a given. Our question over here was it a din nefashis or not? That was the issue. What would that revolve around? Well, I would say that the issue is that they were given hatra'ah that was not specific as to the type of mita. So the machlokas over here was something that was only a general machlok, okay? And it's brought up over here because that defines what the case is. Normally a case either is or it isn't. Over here it's a different type of case, so we use Moshe Shemra to define that different type of case. Now, I just want to point out that that approach immediately leads us into a problem which has immense implications to the approach of Dinim, and actually the subject of real machlokas in between Rishonim and between the Achronim, how to understand the Rishonim and so on. When did this whole thing start? Who determined that this is what the Eidim said? The Eidim came in, it says over here, and they said we were matres tam. We didn't say what type of... Where did they say this exactly? What, they said this to the clerk? Who did they say this to? Because it makes no difference what you say outside of court. Eidus is only Eidus when it's inside of court. So somebody's coming to sue. And he's saying, I believe my wife was Mizana. So does it come to court? Does it come to court? How did these witnesses, how do we know up front that these witnesses are saying, but we only gave Hatra for the different kind of Misa, and who's making these decisions exactly? So you see from here, and this seems clear from Rashi, that there must have been an acceptance of the testimony in front of three Dayanim, because once you have a Beis Din of any type, it's possible to be made in front of them. Okay, so I'm being made what I'm being made. Now that Eidut has various implications. Who will be done al pi that Eidut is one way of understanding it, which means that not all of a court needs to actually hear the testimony, but rather the court as an entity has to have heard the testimony. And then if another one of the Dayanim comes in, it's as if the court knows this event, which is very difficult to believe in terms of the overall shot in Eidus. Or it may simply be that what Rashi is saying, and this is also a long discussion in the Ram, is that there's a capability of accepting testimony. And now we can know this is what the Eidus is. Now, what does that require? A Beis Din of Chof Gimel? Or is it just Momenus? Then perhaps we'll need to have the Eidus in front of the Beis Din. But it's not a clerk. It's a Beis Din that has made that determination. But clearly there was a pre-filtering. So there was a screening system by which we know what are we going to be dealing with. Not just some guy comes into court and some schnook says, you know, well, this is a very serious issue over here. I got a capital case. Yeah, right. Okay, so we listen to what's going on. Then we decide. And that Abai is taking for granted, because otherwise, how could he say everybody agrees chayshin on the laws, or everybody agrees chayshin on lichvodam shel rishonim? If that's true, that means once you have the court in session, boom, you're stuck with the 23. So what's the machlokas?
Is this
Drisha? No. Not even up to Drisha v'chakira. We just want to know, so what's the case? We have to know what the case is before we... So this gives us insight into how serious the methodology... You know, these are things that we pick up only sort of from the side when we go through the Masechta. We haven't even gotten... We're going to be getting there today. The element of Drisha v'chakira. That's part of the actual diyun with this testimony.
So there's a hearing before you put it on the docket.
Exactly.
And ask you for a given
time. Right. So, otherwise, it's not a hearing. Literally, the word hearing is the shmia of Eidus. So a hearing would have to be in front of a Beis Din Shel Shlosha in order for the testimony to be called testimony.
But that's not the machlokas in the Mishnah, right? Whether it's three
No. The machlokas in the Mishnah is whether after such a hearing we would then convene a court of 23. Is this called Hatra'ah? Is it not called Hatra'ah? According to Abai, we're going to have a lot of variations on this theme.
Well, why does it come in 23? Wouldn't we know at this point whether we're going to need 23?
But that's the question. Does a Hatra'ah that's nonspecific require 23? Or is it by definition not a Din of Mita?
So, according to Cumming, just the fact that it's very possible to make an element.
No, I don't know what you seem to be missing a point over here. Abaya is saying, in a general case, we would have to be Chayish Lalaz. The case over here is that we know the evidence. We're only Chayishin Lalaz, but we don't know what the evidence is, and someone may come forward. Here they've already come forward. In the hearing, it turns out that what they've come forward with is information which, according to one shita, is sufficient to bring a capital case. According to the other shita, is this, and that's not our focus. But we use that. We use Moshe Shemra to indicate those two levels of what that pre-hearing could indicate.
Where would Zomim be, at the hearing level or at the court level? You have Adam Zomim at the hearing level?
No, the question of the Hazama we had before wasn't the problem, because there, once we were mazim them, that din was over.
Okay.
Now we were bringing a new suit against the husband. Right. So that's a different issue. Let's wait and see more of our issues with this. Okay. So those were the. I think that's it. We didn't go any further than that. And we did. I'm sorry. We had the next case, which was a variation on this theme, in which Rav Papa said yes, that is the case. It was a pre-hearing. And what happened was that we discovered that there was no hatra'ah at all, and the issue that is the machloket over here is whether a woman who is knowledgeable, so she's a Beit Yaakov graduate, whether she requires hatra'ah. That was the issue. Or do we say she's heard nothing else but her whole life? She certainly knows what the score is. Right, and she shouldn't have allowed it. All right. Just to make that clear, when we say that a chaver doesn't need hatra, it does not mean he doesn't need hatra about the facts. In other words, let's say he's being mechal Shabbos. I mean, you still need to define that he knows it's Shabbos, or he's eating chalev. He has to know this is chalev. What we mean is you don't need to tell him. Well, this is what happens to someone who. Yeah. So that's not the issue. Right. La'avchin ben shog, if you hold it, that's the machlokes. Is that the point of hatra'ah?
Shabbat Hayom.
Right.
That would be enough.
Would be enough.
No, you don't.
Not for a chaver. Yeah, I thought you said you do.
For a chaver,
you do not. You just have to let him know the information. Right. So that was yesterday's ending. So that brought us already four different approaches. We had Rabba, in order. We had Ula, and we had Rabba, and we had Ravashi, and Rav Papa, and today we've got another four of these. So let's hear these other variations on a theme. Ravashi also says it has to do with the machlokus about the nature of Hatra'ah. We're on the bottom line here of Amud Beis. Ravashi amarti don de atru beimalt, velo atru beiktalah. Then what happened over here, oh boy. Let's see how much time we got. Hello? Then Atakvashama? No. Bemet or Deser Dakot? Atakvashama. Amarta Shetitain Yeser Dakot Hatra'ah. Tov Beseder. Mishu. Ech Ata Nir'eh? Beseder. Okay, Toda.
It must be a problem.
Because you're a problem.
Apparently. He's out there already. Don't forget one or two. And he's in a Rekhev Mischari Lavan that says Keter on it. It's at the 38 bus stop. Yeah. Flex those muscles. No, you're missing it. All right. So, the machlokus over here was the witness that says, look, you know, if you're going to do this, you're going to be over on an Isser D'Oraisa, and an Isser D'Oraisa is L'chai of Malkus. Now, every lav has the potential in it for a chi of Malkus, unless you hold. The lav shenitam azharat bitat beitin ein lokin alav. Now, that's a machlokus. Our Gemara is making the assumption that even where a lav was given in order to ultimately be a chi of Misa in Besdin, if the Edom will only give you a hatra'ah, as if it's a normal lav, then there's still a key of a malchus. The Edom say, well, you know, we couldn't bring ourselves to tell her, I mean, she's going to get killed. And so we told her she'll get malchus. And she accepted the hatra'ah on that basis. And now the machlokus is, and our machlokus is a whole different issue. Is malchus misa? That's the question. There's a machlokus as to whether a din of Malkus has the same chumrah of a din of Misa. That's what they say. Yeshbo nefashot. Yeshbo dinei nefashot doesn't mean literally the dinei nefashot. But that physical punishment is the equivalent of dinei nefashot. And therefore, according to Waman the Amar, we'll see this is Machlokas Rabbi Shimon the Rabbanan. So according to Waman the Amar in our Mishnah, the Chiev of Malkus itself requires 23. According to the other, the fear of a Malkus can be in any person. And this is Vaplut the Rabbi Shmuel Rabbana. So it's not Makot Bishlosha, Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Amru Be'esrim Bishlosha. So we know that this is an existing Machlokas, and we apply it over here. Ravina Amar, Ravina says now, six terrors. Kegon shenipsa echad min ha'edim karov v'pasul. What happens is the witnesses are examined. Turns out one of them is related to one of the parties, related to another one of the witnesses, or one of the witnesses is pasul. But there's a lot of witnesses. So here, the machlokas revolves on a separate issue. If you have more than two witnesses, and you have two witnesses that are kosher, but in the group of witnesses that appear, there's witnesses that are also not kosher, do we have to throw out the whole thing, or do we just ignore the testimony of the one who isn't suitable to testify? And that's the machlokas between Rabbi Yossi and Rebbe in how to understand Rabbi Akiva's drasha. It's not. Rabbi Akiva Omer, lo ba'ash lishi, ela lahachmir alav. The reason that the Torah says al pi shnei edim or al pi shlosha edim, which seems to be crazy, I mean, obviously if you can be yakum davar on two, certainly you can be yakum davar on three. But what it, the chiddush is that it's saying that even if the third witness is a third wheel, and you say is a third wheel, why should he be punished once we establish that two of these witnesses were Edim Zomimim? We can tell the third guy, okay, you go home. I mean, you're the last guy. No, says Rabbi Akiva, in having been mishtatef with the other two witnesses, even though his shituf was unnecessary to accomplish the plan that they had in mind of bringing this false testimony, he is responsible as if he was the prime suspect too. He will get killed, exactly. So it's Vasod Dino Kayotse Be'elu. And in Kach Anasha Katuvat and Nitzvalo Re'avira. If the Torah is ready to shoot someone just for being an accessory, so to speak, he's a secondary person here in this group of Re'avira, treats him as if he's a fundamentally necessary part of it. So Alakat Kama de Kama, she is Shalem Sachar. It's hanitfala osei, it should say with a yud, is the way it appears in the Mishnah there. And of course, it's talking about to others who do, not la osei to a person. So la osei mitzvah, ki osei mitzvah. He will be considered to be one of the prime suspects in doing a mitzvah. So even though he's only given a dollar towards this great project of saving a city or whatever, he is considered to be one as if he did that mitzvah.
If he was a true witness.
If he was?
A true witness. He saw the act.
Yeah.
He wasn't.
No, of course not. It's only where we were mazim him.
No,
oh, also.
Of course. Oh. Of course. Obviously. You know, what do you think this is? The year on Yidachat with, you know, with your property over here.
It's
Hershey.
Huh?
He's
just driving.
When there are three Aiden, there's four Zomim.
Three Aiden.
Two is Zomim.
Yes. Yes.
So they have to get one.
The third one goes home and throws a party. Unless he himself was Nizam. So therefore, and furthermore, Mashnaim Nimsa Kadmiam Karova Pasul Edutan Bitelan, this is the part that's important to us. If you have a group, and if you have two, well, obviously if one of them is pasul, the whole Edus is thrown out, the poet's coming to tell me the same thing is true of three?
If they come together as three.
Well, yes, but let's wait on that a second. So, Av Shlosha Nitzach Abim Kalova Pasul Edutan B'Teila. Uminat Afim Omeyah. Here it's a Shnei Edim or Shlosha Edim. How do we know even 100? Well, Talmud Lomar Edim. I mean, you could have said Al Pi Shnei Edim O Shlosha. That would have made perfectly good sense. Two or three. If you say O Shlosha Edim, then what's that last Edim? I'm telling you anything beyond two. It's all one large group. Okay, so far that's Rabbi Akiva. How does it relate to our Mishnah? Because there's a machlokas now that Rabbi Yossi time is. When did Rabbi Akiva say this? Bameh devarim amurim b'dinei nepashot aval b'dinei mamonos itkayem edut b'shar. This is only true of dinei nepashot. So in dinei nepashot, yes, we're ready to agree that the edus is bottle. But when it comes to dinei mamonos, we're not mocked. Rabbi says, no, echad dinei mamonos, echad dinei nefashos. This is the point. The ematai. When do we say that the edus is batel? Only if bizman shehitru bahem. This is only where the one who was pasul edus, for whatever reason, he also participated in the hatra'ah originally. So in saying don't do that, I mean, he is taking now responsibility for what is happening. So that means he has set himself up as a witness. Otherwise, the mere witnessing of a thing doesn't make you a witness. There has to be an involvement, an intent. So when it comes to Dinei Nefarshis, where Hatra'ah is part of the testimony, then your Hatra'ah has automatically committed you to being a technically, legally defined witness, and therefore whoever else did that, if there were three of you or four of you, you're all the witnesses. And if one is puzzled, then I'm going to be puzzled. Apobisman, Shaloi, Ruben, you did not do something to make it clear that you were a witness. So the mere act of seeing, or not act, I mean the passive seeing of a thing cannot possibly be construed as turning you into witness, because, I mean, that would lead to absurd situations. It would mean that if somebody wants to definitely be potter, he should get up in the middle of a baseball match and shoot his friend, so that it was witnessed by so many people. And all of those people, it must have been two brothers or a father and a son, and then forget it, he's Potter. Who's going to be testifying against him? So you see, postulating. There's 100,000 people here. They're obviously postulating. And that's crazy. I mean, so Bayasu Shnei Akim Ve'achad Shira Ube Akacha Arakata Nefesh. Well, what's going to happen? There's three people here. Two of them are brothers to each other. One of them is a stranger. One of the brothers could go now with that guy and testify. So what's the defendant going to say? Aha! But there were two brothers. You'll never get me. So therefore, only if the two brothers together also gave Hatra'ah. So that turns them into a testimony. Mashenke, if they didn't give a testimony, they didn't give Hatra'ah. So that there's no problem. And that would be the machlokas in our mission between Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan. We found one of them was a Carver apostle, but he had not given Hatra'ah. So if you hold like Rabbi Yossi, who's saying, well, no, it doesn't make any difference. This is the law, and the Fashot is exactly the same as Mominus, with no Hatra'ah. And the point is, the Edus is Batel, so the Edus is Batel in our case. With our pre-hearing.
You know this from the hearing ahead of time?
We see this, we identify the witnesses, and we see, look, too bad we don't have testimony. Mashenkin, the Rabbanan, all like Rebbe. One of them says, no, I didn't say anything. Ah, you didn't say anything. Okay, so you go home. Now we've got two witnesses that claim that they saw her being Mizana. Now let's convene our court. So therefore you would need 23. Again, we're using Moti Shema as a carrier for a din that could exist on two levels. It gives us reason for our screening procedure, the original hearing, and that's why Moti Shema now is the issue.
So we also not Machayev, the third aid to be involved in the
Masra. That's right. This would be also. Rebbe. Rebbe Yossi says over here.
No, Rebbe Yossi.
Rebbe Yossi holds Dinei Nefarshis, it wouldn't be the same as Dinei Mominus.
But matter if all three of the Eidim are.
I mean, Rebbe Yossi says Dinei Nefarshis doesn't matter if you were Maser or not. So he would say the guy's here, and therefore they're all sent home. That's what you meant. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, sorry, I misunderstood. Vibais Ema, or. I've got, this is Ravina now giving yet another explanation. It could be that there was a hasra by someone else, no witnesses. Forget about relatives. There's another way of learning that this is a problem in hasra'ah. What would be the problem? People standing there said, and they never showed up to testify. Now they said, they announced, don't do that because, but the Edom themselves relied on the fact that someone had said it. And that's someone, they saw it. This someone was the rabbi. Maybe he didn't even see it. Maybe they went over there and said, look, we don't know, but there's something going on over there. We better do something. So the rabbi says, don't do it. He says, well, you're looking in through the window. I'm not going to look. But they're looking. All right, but don't do that. So he explains why she shouldn't do it. Meanwhile, the witnesses say, okay, so she heard. She responds to the rabbi. She says, well, I'm not Cain, right? The witnesses see this, they come into court, and now at our hearing, we determine that they didn't say a word, but they relied on the Hatra'ah. That is the Machlokas Rabbi Yossi v'Rabbanan. The Tanan Rabbi Yossi Omer La'olam Eino Ne'eragachu Pi Shnei Edav Matrin Bo Shema Al-Pi Shnayim Edim. What do you mean Al-Pi? In other words, the original, before they even became Edim, the original speaking of the Edim to the defendant is part of the testimony. So they have to give the Hatra'ah themselves. So here we see that the Hatra'ah is actually much more than simply my being able to say the knowledge. It's part of what allows me to be involved in this case to be a witness, which completely changes the whole concept of what witnesses is, are meant to be, but this is a Makkos Sugya, not a Sanhedrin Sugya yet, so let's wait and discuss those implications. But the Machlokas, therefore, here would be, if you hold like Rabbi Yossi, that he's not Nerach, then it's Nidon B'Shlosha, because we'd establish in our hearings that somebody else gave the Hatra'ah. Oh, okay, so we only need three judges to deal with this case. If you hold like the Rabbanan, so then you say, oh, well, what's the difference? There was a Hatra'ah, we need a Beis Din of Esrim V'Shalosh.
Whenever
there's any kind of witnesses where he claims to know what happens, there's no din of Sota. Sota is only din of Sira. She was alone.
No. What I'm saying is that when you don't have good witnesses, you're not sure. So it's bumping at the moment. It's that the husband is self-conscious.
Right, but there's nothing to do about that. In other words, it's only where the din of Sota is very specific, where he warned her before, don't be alone. And then she was alone. It's nothing to do with a general doubt that a husband has about his wife. Or there could be yet another. Vibay Seiman is also Ravina, says, I have another suggestion too. I mean, it could be talking about, and here we get to Arbadikas and Chakiras, could be talking about the Itkachush Bibdikot Velo Itkachush Bechakirot. Now, this implies that we've got, as part of our screening procedure, a hearing that actually will do Grisha V'Chakira. Now that's already a big surprise, right? And what happens is we found out that these witnesses contradict each other, but only in the Bidikot. Now the Bidikot are peripheral issues that just come to establish, it's sort of like when you take a lie detector test, they give you all these first questions, just to establish, well, what's your relationship to the event? How do you respond?
In Beis Din.
So they say, okay, they'll ask questions that maybe are not very important. What kind of tree was it that you say it took place? And we'll ask each one of these witnesses separately and see whether they contradict each other. But it's completely irrelevant to the case what kind of tree it was, obviously. The guy killed someone under.
So,
I don't know what it was. I mean, I'm sure it's not what's her name? The lady that wrote all those mystery books. Thank you, Agatha Christie. I'm sure to her it's important. But certainly in terms of the din of Nisa, we're not talking about a Sherlock Holmes investigation. We're talking about a legal investigation.
In the context of a Jews.
In the context of a Jews, it's not really important.
Details pertaining to the case.
Yes, pertaining to the case. Well, how does this pertain to the case? If the question was, did he use a Western automatic, or did he use Barnea's World War One vintage carbine?
Okay.
That would be, in fact, because that is that's Nogea, because the person has to establish whether such a Klee could kill someone. The behind us, it was Barnea's
right.
What would be that would be relevant to the case. Okay. So in any event, the machlokas over here was, the witnesses did contradict each other. One of them said it was a fig tree, and the other one said it was an olive tree. And that is the machlokas. Because Kamifa gave a plutzit to Ben Zakai for Rabbanu, we know the famous maises, it's non ma'aser, ubadat Ben Zakai, the uksei teinim, where they both agreed it was a fig tree, but he asked the both of them separately, were these figs, did they have thick stems or were they thin-stemmed figs? And one of them said it was thin stem, one of them was thick stem, and he threw out the testimony.
Perry Mason school of law.
What's that?
No,
Perry Mason was only orchids, I thought, wasn't it? No, that was, what's his name? Oh, who was the guy that was into orchids? Oh, come on, don't tell me.
Nero Wolf.
Thank you! There we go, Nero Wolf. That's it. Yes, of course. It's because of the Itzilu HaYidah. Sure.
Yeah. Looking for a way out.
We always look for a way out. Right. Remember, the dinim of Misa are not there as deterrents, so we try our best not to apply them.
They're not there as deterrents?
No, they're not there for that. If they were there for deterrents, it would be a pretty awful way to deter someone to say these kilo aida. You know? The whole point is to find any possible way out of a key of Misa. Except for Mesit. Mesit. But there too, even there, it's not really for a deterrent. The reason we're makbir is not for the deterrent effect on the Mesit. That the point of dinim is to establish the hierarchy of morality. So the morality cannot be defined downwards. There's nothing to do with deterrence. And that's the issue. In other words, once you say it's not worth killing for, then you're saying this thing is not all that important. So, in other words, if it becomes a joke that you should kill someone for adultery, killing for. You're saying society will not kill someone for violating a relationship, then you have obviously determined that relationships are not that valuable. It becomes a joke. I mean, come on, what do you mean? Everybody sleeps with their neighbor's wife, because that's exactly what happens. Why would I worry about it, since society obviously accepts it as not being an important issue? So the elements that define morality for us is din. Deterrence is a function, a completely different function of Bezdin, which is called Hora'at Sha'ah, where Bezdin has to respond according to the social needs of the moment, and then they can kill people for looking at each other, I mean, if they feel that that's a problem.
The
Onshim in the Torah are not deterrents. They're only there to establish morality. And that, of course, is why the whole issue in the public debate about the death penalty is totally irrelevant. Of course it's not a deterrent. It's not meant to be a deterrent. It would be ridiculous to have courts killing people all over the place. Some idiot in the middle of Arkansas is going to decide to kill people. What, for a deterrent? That's ridiculous. But certainly, it completely changes the way you look at the value of that. Yeah, in other words, you end up with a European vision. In the European vision, you're basically barbarians, in which nothing matters. As long as things go smoothly and finally everything is lovely and everybody's happy. But ultimately, if anything goes wrong, even economically, we wipe them out. Yeah. Okay, so this would then be the machlokas in our Mishnah. What were we talking about? A dinei misa or a dinei mamon? There was a hakasha, but hakasha was an irrelevant piece. So that's the question over here.
So how does that relate to Mimosa with 3 or 23?
If we say that such a hakasha allows, nonetheless, suits to be brought as a chiyav misa, so then we'll need 23. If not, we're reduced to the other elements, momentous, where we're not makbid on these things. And then we'll go through it as with the monetary issues. Homer and Yosef, Hevi ha-ba'al, edim she-zinta, ve-hevi ha-av, edim ve-hezimum le-dei ha-ba'al, edei ha-ba'al ne-heragin, ve-ein mishalmim mamon. Now here, what's interesting thing, is that if the Baal now comes along with this testimony, and we now have other testimony that shows that they were liars. So now there were two issues that were going on, because they were going to be mafsid this woman her ketubah. Remember, we haven't dealt with that problem. We've dealt with the fact that there's two levels of the din, and that it's reversible. One is against the woman, and one is against the Baal. Let's see how those things stack up in terms of the testimony. The original testimony that the husband was bringing has two effects. First of all, it gets him out of paying the ketubah. And it conveniently takes her out of the picture.
Right? He settled for the former.
Well, no.
Assuming he has AIDS.
He's trying to get rid of her.
Where's the Italian son?
That's right. So he now has brought, he brings witnesses. And these witnesses turn out to be lying. Okay, so there were two elements of their din. Nonetheless, the chiyav of kasher zaman is only mechayev them to a chiyav of misa, because the chiyav of nefashot is kamlei b'derabba mineh. It's subsumed by the chiyav of misa. Masha'ein came. Now let's say that whole thing turns around, And now the Edei Habal come along and show that the Edim of the Av were Edim Zomimim, who had attempted to be Mazim, the Edei Habal. We have now yet a third Kata of Edim. Now, they're saying, what do you mean they were with you in Timbuktu on the day that they claim you were with us in New York on that day? So now it turns out the original Edim were the Edim. The Edim that had tried to be Mazim then, but they had two things that they were doing, didn't they? Because what they were going to do is they were going to cause the Baal to pay his mea shekel, and they were going to cause the witnesses to be shot. Right? Now, those are two different issues. And here we have the reversal to the Baal. So we have the other thing. Now, there you have a chiyuv of both things. We're going to sue them for what they're worth, pay their mea shekel, then we'll shoot them. Right? So they're the neharagin umishalmin, but not in that order. Because we have mamon lezeh unefashot lezeh. Over there we have two completely different dinim. And this is also part of the strange Motzi Shemra issue. Because what was originally a din against the woman for her ketubah or her life, because now it's sued against the Baal for his mea shekel, and the witnesses accordingly have affected both. So we have this really cute case. Because in that last Hazama, we have one pair of witnesses who are dealing with both issues.
Come
let the Rabbi have two different issues. Has no relationship. No, somebody did two completely different things. That have two, doesn't matter.
One act, even though it did two results.
That is a very good question, and we'll see more issues of this. Let's say somebody was stealing from one person through an act of Chilul Shabbos. When this act of Chilul Shabbos, Patrim, because it's one act. So over here, in the testimony, isn't it one thing that they're doing? So why isn't that act of a Chiyav Nisa Patrim because of the din of Kom Leibet Rabbi? In other words,
two different people, probably.
There too. I mean, why is Kineged Shabbos on the one hand and Kineged is first? Why do we say that the Asher Zaman itself is Mechayev two separate Chiyuvim? There seems to be something unique about the way we understand Kashyazam. Okay, but again, this is something we'll hold off on.
Shabbos, if you burn several fields over different people,
burning is not a good example because, we have to establish a case where what you did of Chilul Shabbos was precisely the instant that you. So the Gemara constructs a case where you're dragging something from Rishus HaYoked of the person that you're stealing from into Rishus HaRabim. And as it crosses the line, that's the moment that you're chayev on Hotzah, because you don't have to put it down because you're dragging it. At that minute, you were also with Mishana Rishus.
I'm regular Hotzah without an in-law, but that's changing his mind, right?
Yeah, okay. You can have a case like that also. The problem would be the whether you need to set it down. Your Hotzah wasn't finished. The question of how we can get Hotzah. But again, it's really getting off on tangents here. Good. So that is a point that definitely needs some clarification. At this point, I will say have a wonderful day, have a wonderful Yom Tov, Chag Sameach, and I look forward to seeing you in my Sukkah Bezras Hashem on 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock tomorrow. Sunday.